Welcome to Manager Tools. How to Evaluate Interviewees, Chapter 1, Use of Names. This cast answers these questions. How do I evaluate a candidate's use of names? Is it okay for an interviewee to not remember names? What if a candidate forgets my name in an interview? Well, if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Here we go. This is an interesting topic, Mark, because I've read many times that the idea of using an interviewee's use of your name in an interview, for example, hey, they didn't, no, that person didn't use my name a single time. She's out. Like that,
yeah.
That is a criteria that, I don't know.
It's a standard. Yeah. Same thing as eye contact. People think eye contact is directly related to self-confidence, which it's not. And to tell you the truth, I never thought I'd do this cast because I didn't think that people made it such a black and white thing, but I've since found out that they do, and wrongly. And the second thing is I realized that there are a whole bunch of things that are used by interviewers as rules of thumb, sort of, you know, that we assume we know from our existence, from our interpersonal skills and so on, and therefore we overlay that on a candidate.
Right. And shortcuts are useful, except when those shortcuts become bigotry and racism and sexism, right?
Exactly. Great point. Use of names in combination with the stress of an interview, and in some cases, for many people, the length of an interview, 30 or 45 minutes, which is really not long enough based on our data, it does not track well as giving you higher true positives or true negatives. So let's do this quickly because it's not a complicated topic. We just want to make sure everybody understands it and understands what to do. First of all, use of names is not that important in interviews. If a candidate forgets, forgive. Don't make a big deal out of it. Now, it might be a problem as part of a whole basket of behaviors. We'll talk about that last. Bottom line, if a candidate doesn't use your name a single time during a normal interview, I'm going to say 45 minutes to 60 minutes. And again, 45 minutes, guys, is not long enough. Correlation between being able to assess true positives and true negatives is it drops precipitously when you go less than an hour. If they don't use your name during that time, it's not a good reason alone to rule them out. This gets far too much attention as a criteria to measure interpersonal skills. You mentioned it, right? Hey, she didn't use my name a single time. She's out. And we just recommend not having that strict of a standard.
It's funny because some people say they're going to rule a person out for that reason. But when they introduce themselves, they say hello to somebody, they never tell the person their name.
To me, that's a little gamey. A little craven kind of, yeah, I'm gonna set this. It's almost Rickover-like. Admiral Rickover was the founder of the U.S. nuclear navy, who was famous for really weird interviewing techniques, like nailing a chair to the floor and then saying, "Hey, move that chair over here." Okay, go open that window, and then the window's nailed shut. Stupid stress interviews. Stress interviews are also dumb, by the way. We'll do a podcast on that at some point. Yeah, if you don't introduce yourself because you want to see whether or not they remember your name from a briefing they got first thing in the morning or from an email you sent, you know, the stress of the interview and them not having your name, and particularly if they're in a series of interviews, it's just not a reasonable approximation of normal day-to-day life. So, no, this is not a good idea. If you're an HR organizational leader or you're a director, so you're a manager of managers, and you want to trust that the people in your organization are managing in a way that's effective, we encourage you to think about our focus on results and retention. And if your managers knew how to build relationships, communicate with directs and so on, and also be clear about goals and objectives, you'll get much better results and retention. You may want to consider bringing us in-house with our effective manager training for clients. For a flat investment of $15,000 in most cases, we'll work with up to 30 managers for a day. We teach actionable models, specifically what to do and how to do it and when to do it, and then provide measurement for the behaviors learned to be implemented after the fact. To learn more about this, contact Maggie, maggie@manager-tools.com, or check it out on our website. Go to the search bar and type in #organizations. Look, here's a simple way to think about it for the vast majority of our listeners who have been with us for a long, long time and understand DISC. About half of the population in the world, 3.5 billion people, too big a pile of people to rule out, I would say, aren't naturally good with names. These are the people who are on the left of the DISC circle, high D's and high C's. Some people tend to be more task-focused than people-focused. They tend to be a little bit less warm, a little bit less personable. It's measurable, but some amount of less friends. They tend to smile less. They tend to prefer being away from people or in smaller groups than bigger groups. If you're a high I or high S, you get energy from being around people. High D's and high C's don't. And so these people are not naturally attuned to names. But this doesn't indict the high D's and high C's as being incapable of being part of a team. You know, I'll give you a really good example, Mike. I hope you're okay with this. Paul Schwier, who works for us, who's one of our tech guys. Paul is a high C, and I love the guy. He has been such a fantastic addition to our team. He's not as warm or as personable or as smiles as much as Maggie, who handles our corporate sales, but Paul is absolutely fantastic, and I'd want him in a foxhole with me. And I don't care that he doesn't tell me jokes the way Maggie does, or that he doesn't send little hearts to everybody on the team the way Judy does. I don't need that from Paul. Some of that because I'm a high D. If I were interviewing Paul, which we did years ago, it wouldn't bother me if he didn't say my name a couple of times in an hour-long interview. He and I knew each other beforehand, tangentially, and I know he knew my name, and I didn't think that the use of my name was a big deal. Now look, if you are someone who says names are important to me, again, a la the DISC analysis, you're ruling out nearly half the population from your process. If you're interviewing for a role that's technical and therefore has a pool of candidates that more likely to be high D's and high C's, you're ruling out even more of the potential population of candidates for your job. Look, we're not against ruling people out here. In fact, we take particular joy in doing it. We just generally don't recommend significantly diminishing your unseen candidate pool so severely with just one behavior, which doesn't correlate with true positives and true negatives to a high degree. The science doesn't support it. Our lives don't support it. And we've said this before. It's our next point. If a candidate forgets, forgive it. We've said it when in our interviewing series. If you don't know, folks, this podcast is about being an interviewer, probably one of our most popular products of all time, which Mike and I agree we should have charged more for all those years ago, is our interviewing series. In the beginning, it was a series of 15 or 20 podcasts that we sold. The price is $150, I think. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It's right. The price has not gone up in 15 years. We now have not 20, but 60 podcasts in the series. You can't get the core 15 or 20 without buying it. And it's partially famous to our longtime licensee community because we bundled it with the first license you ever bought. If you bought an inaugural license back, oh gosh, Mike, was it 13 years ago or so?
Yep.
In that August, after we'd been recording for about a year, you got the interviewing series with it. And we got lots of love notes from people saying, my gosh, I didn't know this stuff and I just got an offer and it's all because of you. And of course, I spent a lot of time writing emails saying, no, it's not because of us. There's plenty of people who give advice, but it's the person who takes the advice and makes it theirs that is worthwhile. But one of the things we say in the interviewing series for interviewees is it's okay to make mistakes in interviews. It is. The big problem that gets you in trouble with interviewing and mistakes is making that first mistake focusing on your mistake while the interview is still going on, and then potentially missing the next question or giving a poor answer to the next question because you're thinking, I'm doomed, I can't do this, I'm in trouble, and so on. So it's not the first mistake that matters. It's your response to your own first mistake. Most interviewers, there's a small percentage that aren't, most interviewers will forgive a small mistake. And so that's what we're saying here regarding names, because they're not that important. Rather than ruling somebody out in an interview because of their lack of use of your name, just forgive it. Don't consider it a death knell for the interview. And look, you indicated not introducing yourself with your name, which is really slimy. Don't remove your nameplate from your desk if you have it. I don't think that many people have nameplates on their desks anymore. They might have something on the side of their cubicle. Don't ask the candidate in the middle of the interview, what's my name? It's, again, a silly game based on a bad criterion. Now, some managers have told us over the years that they do this not just for the name remembering, but also to see if that kind of stress, after the fact that they don't know it, rattles the candidate. And again, this is a bad criterion. And the introduction of additional stress into a professional interview, a la panel interviews, by the way, folks.
Another bad idea.
Yeah. Is unprofessional and, again, doesn't correlate well with true positives and true negatives. Now, we said there was a caveat, and there is. It's not, there are very few managerial guidance that's black and white. If the lack of use of names happens along with other interpersonal cues that concern you, it could be a reason to say no as part of what we call a basket of behaviors. So, it's definitely possible that somebody's inability to use names well could be combined with other interpersonal behaviors, and you might choose to say no to them. So we're not trying to tell you that the use of names might not play a role. This podcast suggests that many managers put far too much stock in the use of names alone. If you're a high I and you're interviewing a high C, and you come out of the interview not liking them, quote unquote, because they didn't remember your name, quote unquote, that's the wrong way to go about interviewing.
Yeah, like if I've been interviewing with somebody for a liaison job or sales or service or, you know, some role where relationships matter more than usual, and the person and the candidate I was interviewing wasn't using names, right? Never smiled,
right?
You know, didn't engage in small talk when I tried very hard to engage them in small talk. And I didn't hear any examples of relationships or the importance of those relationships being important in their past successes.
Yeah. Now you've got a basket.
Then I got a basket of behaviors. It's just, okay, there's something. It's not just that they didn't use a name.
Yeah. I would add a handshake in there. I've talked to candidates. There's a video of me presenting it Kellogg years ago, took, I don't know, 200 or 300 students, and I have on a horrible shirt, as I recall. Didn't really remember being videoed. I don't think they asked me. But anyway.
It's still on YouTube.
So yeah, thanks.
Run out and watch the young Mark.
I open the door and he kicks it in.
And send him some feedback, if you would.
Yeah, good. Tell me all the things you don't like. I promise I'll respond at length. You know, I told everybody, here are some things you need to improve upon. And I said, I shook a lot of your hands today before I started talking. Many of you have terrible handshakes. And we have a podcast on handshakes. I think it's our longest podcast. It may not be anymore. It was our longest for years and years and years. It was 55 minutes because we decided not to break it up. And I don't know why. And it's not hard to have a good handshake. And a handshake is an important part of professional communication and relationships in the modern world. And I had one person say, well, you know, I'm not comfortable with names. I don't like making eye contact. I'm not a smiler. I'm not a handshaker. I said, okay, well, you're just going to get a lot less offers than everybody else, because there's some assumption that working with people and those kinds of things, those kinds of civil activities, those kinds of interpersonal behaviors suggest something about how easy you will be to work with. And that's a reasonable criteria for a company to evaluate you on. And this young person said, you know, I just don't think that's necessary. I think it's all about the role. And I said, well, okay. And I would say I've probably had that conversation with someone who attempted to defend what I would consider to be significantly detracting a lack of interpersonal skills. I've had that conversation 100, 200 times in my career where people just say, well, I don't think they should be evaluating that. They should be evaluating my SAT scores or, you know, my 4.0 GPA, or, you know, I don't like working with people, or I'm not a people person. And unfortunately, this is not fantasy tools. This is manager tools. We teach reality, and reality is people expect to find other people to hire that they believe they can work with. You don't have to be a clone of them, although some people do that, and it's stupid. You have to show that working with others and the basket of behaviors, some of which we just mentioned, are good indicators taken all together. If you're interviewing and you want to use that whole basket of behaviors, it's completely normal. Folks, if you're a listener and every once in a while you want to write something down and you're struggling to take notes, we understand, and that's why we invented our show notes. May have had a thought about something you want to follow up on, but now it's gone because we moved on to our next topic. Or we just mentioned another cast and you're thinking, I've forgotten what it was called. You know, how can I remember? And a personal license will solve your problem. For $200 a year, we'll get you access to all the show notes for all the casts. And show notes aren't like other shows where they're just bullets. It's actually a white paper that covers 98% and 100% of the content in all the shows. Come to ManagerTools.com, look for products in the navigation bar, and select personal license. The whole idea of basket of behaviors doesn't get enough attention in interviewing. Too many of us fixate on one, in this case, use of names, and we think that that one behavior can serve as a proxy for all the behaviors in the basket. And we focus successfully on that one behavior. And using names is a classic proxy for interpersonal skills. And folks, it's just overused. And I've learned from people that one of the reasons it is, Mike, is because they can count it and they notice it.
Right.
Whereas smiling and eye contact, that one's harder. I have to watch them. I can't be taking notes. Okay.
You know, you're right. We make interviewing so hard. We have to actually pay attention to what people are doing.
Yes, and we probably do make it a little bit hard in the beginning, and then people discover it's not that hard to adopt a new set of behaviors. But the beauty is that we make you so good at it that you'll never make a mistake interviewing ever again. Okay, summary real quick. Folks, a candidate's ability to use names in an interview shouldn't be the only way to evaluate their interpersonal skills. Sorry, we don't use shouldn't around here. Oughtn't be the only way you evaluate interpersonal skills in a candidate. It's worth noting, no question. And it may be part of a basket of stuff that adds up to something that in a interview results capture meeting, you would tell your boss or one of your directs, I have significant concerns about her interpersonal skills. She didn't smile. She didn't use my name, et cetera, et cetera. But don't put all your interpersonal skills eggs in the names basket. It's just not smart, and it's not backed up by data.
Simple, but worth noting. Keep yourself out of trouble.
A short cast. And we're going to do a bunch more of these. That's why the title of the cast is, I think, How to Evaluate Interviewees, Chapter 1. So we'll be doing a lot more of these in the weeks and months ahead.
Yeah, we like this stuff. We like getting to the details of managerial behaviors. Yeah, we're the obsessive compulsive management folks.
I mean, it's 2019, I think, when this cast is coming out. And same year, my new book, The Effective Hiring Manager, comes out. So we encourage you, once that's available in the local bookstore, to go buy it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, my friend. Thank you. Enjoyed that.
Thanks, partner.
So long, folks.